We have reached a halfway point in our series on healing the heart of democracy. This wonderful book written by Parker Palmer outlines 5 habits of the heart that will allow we the people to bring forth a politic worthy of the human soul. Now, this is a book that was not written in response to an election. It was written in 2011 as Parker Palmer was trying to find a way to change the things that were shaping and forming our lives together as people. Because let's remember, that's what politics is. At the root of its terms, politics is anything and everything that shapes and forms our lives together. And Parker Palmer wanted to build upon the notion that in order for politics to change, people would need to develop habits of the heart that changed the one thing any of us can truly affect, ourselves. This sermon series is about work we are invited to do in our own lives. The sermon series is not about the things we wish other people would do. It's not about getting everyone to agree with us. It's not about assigning blame for the problems that our community, our country, and our world are dealing with. Now, it's easy to want to do those things, to spend all of our energy focused on other people and what they're doing wrong. But those things are not pulpit worthy. In fact, those things are not Highlands United Methodist Church worthy. Because those things don't heal anything. They just make problems bigger. And I tell you, there is a great deal of healing needed. From our denomination to our nation, I find myself anxious, overwhelmed, and disappointed on a pretty regular basis these weeks. Life is not comfortable right now. And I tell you, the stress of it all makes a person want to walk away, to throw their hands in the air and just remove ourselves from the stressful, toxic environments that seem to permeate so much of the world. But that walking away, as we will discover today, that desire to escape and avoid, ignore and push away, that is actually what's creating a lot of our problems. Today, we are invited to form a new habit in our hearts. We are invited to cultivate our ability to hold tension in life-giving ways. You know, tension is not typically understood to be life-giving. Parker Palmer puts it this way. We regard tension as a condition to be relieved, not an energy for which our hearts should hold. Because tension creates stress, which leads to ill health, so we must reduce or eliminate these enemies of our well-being. Now, that is good advice if the stress comes from a toxic workplace, an abusive relationship, or some other assault on our body or soul. But the stress that comes from being stretched by alien ideas, differing values or experiences, that is a tension of a different sort. This is actually why some psychologists distinguish between distress, which is negative and destructive, and eustress, which is positive and a product that leads to growth. This is an important note that Parker Palmer makes. A very important note for us to emphasize. If our stress comes from a toxic workplace, an abusive relationship, or some other assault on our body or soul, we should not hold that. One of my important parts of self-care is my yoga practice. Spending time on my mat is incredibly important for my mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And early on in my yoga journey, one of my earliest instructors always started class with a gentle reminder. There is a difference between discomfort and pain. One of them helps you grow. One of them hurts you. The thing about the difference between discomfort and pain, whether it's physical on a yoga mat or emotional in a relationship, there is no one outside of yourself who can tell you which is which. It's not a healing habit to hold tension that brings us pain. Please hear the invitation to let go of that. But we as a society have become so averse to discomfort of any kind that we recoil from any discomfort as if it were pain. So hear me when I say today that we are invited to hold the tension of being stretched by differing ideas and values and experiences. We're invited to hold that tension in life-giving ways. Because much of what is broken in our world is so because people just walk away from each other or walk away from things that require hard work. Think about it. If it isn't our way, if it isn't our opinion, if it isn't easy, if it isn't obvious, if it isn't perfect, we have so many reasons to say, I'm done with this. Reasons we walk away from things when they get uncomfortable. Because there's tension. Now, reflecting on our country's history of democracy, Parker Palmer noticed that there was a really good example of a leader who did not walk away from tense, imperfect, difficult realities that his day brought forth. And that was Abraham Lincoln. In fact, one of my favorite quotes from Healing the Heart of Democracy is actually a summary of a Lincoln speech. Oh my goodness. As I read this book, I found more. I just want to sit down and read Lincoln's works. Amazing, beautiful words, one of which is summarized this way. If American democracy fails, it will happen because we, you and I, have become so fearful of each other, so fearful of our differences and of the future, that we have unraveled the civic community on which democracy depends, losing our power to resist what threatens it and call it back to its highest form. This is Lincoln's heart. Lincoln confronted great tension in a divided and dividing country with a steadfastness and a wisdom that was just uncanny. He was not fearful of all the differences that he experienced. He was not fearful of the tension that was causing people to simply shut down and walk away. And his ability to do so comes from a place most of us would never expect. Abraham Lincoln lived his life with a condition that was known at the time as melancholy. Abraham Lincoln lived with depression. He spent every day in a swirl of uncertainty and discomfort. To quote the book, Lincoln's need to preserve his life by embracing and integrating his own darkness and light made him uniquely qualified to help America preserve its union. Because Lincoln knew dark and light intimately, he knew them to be inseparable elements of what it means to be human. His everyday life gave him, without choice, something so many of us work to avoid. His life gave him experience and practice dealing with the tough stuff. He spent every day confronting the reality that things aren't perfect and things are hard, and sometimes it takes incredible work just to make it through the day. You know, it's the tough stuff. I mean, it is tough to have someone disagree with you on a principle you hold not only to be true, but foundational. It's tough to revisit a conversation for the millionth time with every person who meets you and wonders why you think, act, or live the way you do. It's tough to feel like something in the world is wrong, but you don't know what the entire journey is going to be to fix it. You only know one little starting point. It's tough to stick with something when it isn't giving you the results you want as quickly as you want them. Things are tough. The real things are tough. And we need the practice and the experience of dealing with them to be able to handle more and more. As I was thinking about this tension holding, as I was considering our scriptures, I was overwhelmed by the amount of tension in our scriptures. This is a tense book. Every person, every story. And the reason it's tense is because it's real. You heard it in the Mother's Day prayer. The different life experiences are the real things, the hard things. And we're invited to sit with that, to live in those stories. Of all the tension in that book, one that stood out to me is a story Jesus used to get people thinking about prayer. Jesus told this parable, a story about persistence. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. In that same city, there was also a widow who kept coming to the judge asking, "Give me justice in this case against my adversary." For a while, the judge refused, but finally said to himself, "I don't fear God or respect people, but I will give this widow justice because she keeps bothering me. Otherwise, there will be no end to her coming here and embarrassing me publicly. What a story. What we have here is a story of a person in power neglecting justice for no reason other than self-centered ineptitude. The woman in Jesus' story is faced with the tension of this, and to steal a phrase, nevertheless, she persisted. The story of the widow reminds us that sometimes it takes time. She just keeps going. I'd like justice, please. I'd like justice, please. I would like justice, please. She reminds us that it takes time. The tension is there because, honestly, people and systems do this to us on purpose. They fear that we're going to get what we're looking for, so they create tension to keep us from looking, hoping the tension will be enough to scare us away. Let's make it tough and awkward, and maybe they'll disappear. Parker Palmer encourages us to be active in how we respond. Holding tension creatively does not mean indecision or inaction. At every level of human life, from our living our own lives well to governing a nation justly, decisions must be made. But they must be made not in the haste that comes from being impatient in tension or the ignorance that results from fearing the clash of opinions. We're invited to act with intention. Now, the widow could have hastily chosen to let her tension win. You get no a couple times, you say, fine, nothing's ever going to change, I'm done. But she didn't walk away. She didn't give up. She held that tension. In fact, she even created new tension for that judge. She held tension until he became uncomfortable, and it worked. Or should I say it got results? Did you notice the judge wasn't changed? He didn't suddenly recognize the error of his ways. He stays selfish. He openly acknowledges, I don't fear God or respect people, but I'll do this. I mean, who says that? He openly acknowledges that he was denying justice and doesn't change. I mean, listening to Jesus tell this story, we just have to sit with this tension. This is a made-up story Jesus told people. He could have told the story any way he wanted. He could have given it any ending at all. And thus her prayers changed his heart, and they all lived happily ever after. That's not in the Bible. This woman could have gotten justice, and his heart could have grown 3 sizes that day. But that's not the story Jesus told. This story is practice for us. This story is one of those exercises and experiences. It's an example of what we have to live with and live in this world. And Jesus didn't even have relatives with opposing political views on Facebook. He just knew this needed to be addressed. The story is but one example of how God works in places of tension. The world was created out of chaos. The resurrection only comes after the crucifixion. Our beginnings and our new beginnings come from the most difficult and imperfect moments. We as people who are seeking to better the world, especially those of us with privilege who have fewer reasons to experience pain, we have to hold the tension. We must persist. Whether it's a family member, a coworker, a corporation, a denomination, or a country, we have to stay engaged. Now, I've become obsessed with a piece of wisdom that's actually a quote from William Sloan Coffin. Parker Palmer quotes it in the book. I love this. There are 3 kinds of patriots: 2 bad, 1 good. The 2 bad are the uncritical lovers and the loveless critics. Good patriots carry on a lover's quarrel with their country. Now, I'm going to read this to you one more time, but I'm going to replace the word patriot with Methodist and the word country with church. There are 3 kinds of Methodists: 2 good, 2 bad, and 1 good. The bad are the uncritical lovers and the loveless critics. Good Methodists carry on a lover's quarrel with their church. You could replace the word patriot with the word citizens, family members, neighbors, employees, customers. Take your pick. But to sit and have loveless criticism accomplishes nothing. To sit lovingly without critiquing accomplishes nothing. We're invited into a lover's quarrel, a disagreement that doesn't end relationship, but a disagreement that happens because we hold a relationship. And though it can be hard to love the broken state of things, we can love the idea of what it will be if we persist. We can refuse to let the tension win, and we can be present until something more comes from it. Parker Palmer sums it up beautifully. We are imperfect. We are imperfect and broken beings who inhabit an imperfect and broken world. The genius of the human heart lies in its capacity to use these tensions to generate insight, energy, and new life. May those things be so because we do. Amen.